Hi there, listeners. It's Farnoosh, and I just want to say I'm really honored that you've chosen to subscribe to So Money. I know there are a lot of podcasts out there. The fact that you're here is not lost on me. Now, if you're enjoying these episodes and you're benefiting from the advice and you want more, I've actually created something really special for us. It's called the So Money Members Club. It's an online platform where you can connect more closely with me and engage with fellow So Money fans who want to become more empowered in their financial lives. The website is SoMoneyMembers.com. And when you go there, you'll learn all the benefits, including exclusive monthly finance workshops, private group calls with me. You get your questions answered in our member community. I'm often in there weighing in, and you get instant access to all of our workshop recordings. We have a robust library that's growing. So far, we've had workshops on investing in real estate, kids and money, and how to earn more in 2024. And most of all, it's fun, positive, encouraging, all the things personal finance should be. Go to SoMoneyMembers.com, and I hope you'll join us. I'm limiting enrollment, and doors will close soon. Check out SoMoneyMembers.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money episode 1249, the best of summer 2021, our conversation with Margaret Detweiler on why Generation X is the best generation ever.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
We are, you know, from 40 to 55 in this moment, and we are really kind of at the moment in our careers and our lives where everything is happening, you know, whether that is in our jobs, in our relationships. You know, a lot of us are, some of us are parents, some of us are not. Many of us are taking care of our parents while we are taking care of our kids.
Welcome back to So Money, everybody. Labor Day. I hope that you are doing something not laborious. You're taking a break from work. And if you're listening to this podcast, thank you. I appreciate it. It's nice to know that even on a holiday, you are coming around. Today, we're going to continue our string of best hits of 2021, summer 2021. It was a very educational summer here on So Money. And one of the most exciting shows of the season was when I had on Margaret Detweiler, who is the founder of an incredible platform called Tonight.com. It's a Webby honored storytelling platform that is for, as she describes it, grown-ass Gen X women. And I'm kind of part of this generation. I'm in the middle. I'm Gen X. I'm Gen Y. I'm from the analog generation and the digital generation. So I have a lot of perspectives. And I especially love Margaret's perspective on Gen X, this generation born between 1966 and 1980, as the trailblazers of our time. I heard from many listeners following this episode just how much they appreciated the spotlight on Generation X, as sometimes they are the forgotten generation. We are always talking about millennials, Gen Z, even the boomers. But what about Gen X? What happened to them? We'll find out. Here's Margaret Detweiler. Margaret Detweiler, welcome to So Money.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
You know, I'm so excited to dive into what I think is my audience's, one of my audience's favorite subjects, even though I have an audience that ranges from like 12 years old all the way to 100. There is a strong community of Gen Xers who listen to So Money, and I'm sort of a Gen Xer or a geriatric millennial, depending on which Wikipedia page you are referencing. You are very much involved and passionate about this generation, often described as the forgotten generation. So tell us about Gen X. What should we remember about Gen X?
Yeah, well, we should remember that we're actually in our prime. So, you know, we may be sort of invisible or forgotten to some, but in fact, we are, you know, from 40 to 55 in this moment, and we are really kind of at the moment in our careers and our lives where everything is happening, you know, whether that is, you know, in our jobs, in our relationships. You know, a lot of us are, some of us are parents, some of us are not. Many of us are taking care of our parents while we are taking care of our kids. We are looking at our investments very closely. I think we are just kind of making stuff happen. And, I think it's a misnomer to say that Gen X is kind of, you know, along for the ride, when I think we're the ones actually making a lot of stuff happen.
Well, and to that point, I think that maybe why there is this sentiment that they're forgotten is because we figured they have figured it out, right? There's so much emphasis and spotlight on, let's say, Gen Zers, which are, I feel so misguided. Maybe they'll prove me different, but like going to TikTok for all your life's solutions, I don't know. Then, you know, millennials got all the media attention for a while there because they were sort of that next new generation that was just figuring it out. So let's help them. And, you know, they're, you know, different and we have to figure them out. And then Gen X just sort of quietly went away, buying houses, getting married, building businesses, retiring early, perhaps. Are they still to some extent really figuring it out? And do you think that, I mean, you've built an entire platform to support them through storytelling, and we'll talk about tonight momentarily, but let's sit with this for just a little bit longer. Like, what else is Gen X trying to figure out right now? And are they supported?
Yeah, that's a great question. I definitely, and I will say that we are on TikTok. I just want to throw that in there. Gen X is big time on TikTok. It's actually pretty hilarious. There's, you know, all kinds of creators there, but, and we love watching it. But I would say that the things that we're struggling with right now and haven't yet figured out are definitely that caregiving sandwich generation piece where, you know, before I started the Two Nighters platform, our community piece, I really wanted to get into what is the problem that most of us are trying to solve. And I would say overwhelmingly it's, you know, I didn't realize that I was going to have to be kind of taking care of my parents and my kids at the same time, or even just my parents. And like in my situation, you know, my parents are in their 80s. And the thing is, you know, people are living longer. We're having kids later. It's a much more pronounced situation. Also, because we have careers, we're doing many things. So there's just a lot of stress and pull in this moment. And I think we haven't quite prepared ourselves for this moment. So I would say that is the biggest kind of pain point that we're trying to all solve right now. Yep.
Sure. And of course, the last 14, 15 months with COVID-19 and then the subsequent recession, which impacted so many women, more women than men, more women of color than everybody else, it seems. And so what were some of the themes that came out of the last year and a half, stories or concerns. A lot of people said that the pandemic was just an acceleration of life. If life was treating you well, maybe it treated you even better because you continued to have a job and support and you saved a lot of money in 14 months. Mm-hmm. But if you were already feeling not supported or in a crappy job or a single mom that didn't have community and like your bad dream became a nightmare
in
the pandemic. And so what are you hearing that might be issues that are now only surfacing to the forefront, to the top because of the pandemic?
It's interesting. I was actually talking with someone the other day about, you know, someone that made this assumption that Gen X was kind of staying the course after the pandemic, that the pandemic was such a pain point that like it didn't allow for people to make changes in their lives, especially Gen X, because of, you know, caregiving and all of that. It couldn't be further from the truth. You know, I actually did an informal survey in our community and asked people, what are you doing? What changes have you made? And people are moving. A lot of people are moving. You know, and it's to your point about, you know, maybe it accelerated something that was already in play. A lot of people are making that distinct change. Like they're moving to a city that they'd already planned or had in their mind to potentially move to. And now this is making it happen. A lot of people have left or changed their jobs. Some people are going, like, actually, my sister is going back to work. You know, I think, you know, people are looking at just how can I pivot, especially I think for women in their, you know, late 40s, 50s, you know, it's just this pivotal moment, which is kind of what Tunight is all about, those pivotal moments.
Yes, let's talk about Tunight. That's TUENight.com. This is your Webby honored storytelling platform, also live event series and community for what you call grown ass Gen X women. Yep. Those of us who are in fact, quote unquote, just getting started. What was your impetus for this? Where were you in your life, in your business, where you decided this is my next act?
Yeah. Well, I was consulting. I still do consulting as a content strategist. I'm a former journalist and editor. And I felt like there weren't stories being told about people like me and my friends, you know, who were in our 40s, who were still living these dynamic lives, traveling, investing in things, you know, changing careers, pivoting, as we talked about. And I just wasn't seeing that narrative. I was seeing, you know, the narrative about older women was like sort of this aesthetic, like, yeah, you know, we're celebrating our wrinkles. And it was just very sort of surfacey and a little bit like, I just felt like, you know what, the story is much richer. There are stories to be told and diverse stories. There are so many different ways to be in midlife and choices that we make and choices, unfortunately, they're made for us. But through that storytelling, there is power and there is connection. When we hear about the way somebody else is dealing with their parents at sort of later in life or themselves and how they've changed careers or whatever it might be, we can really see ourselves in that. So storytelling is, to me, just a useful tool.
On the homepage right now, I see you have a Q&A with Jennifer Barrett, who's a friend of mine as well, and was on this podcast not too long ago with her book. Her book is called Think Like a Breadwinner. What are you hearing at Tunight about money? What I'm sure there's so many stories about personal transformation, relationships, career, but specifically money. What's coming up?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny. People, Gen Xers are, they're actually much more a planning generation. They are much more organized, I feel. Obviously, I'm biased, but, you know, than the previous generations. You know, I think we were latchkey kids. We were set off on our own, riding our bikes around the town without much oversight. And I think some of that was wonderful. A lot of that was wonderful and created a kind of scrappy generation. And some of that also made us kind of later in life go, we need a little more planning and organization and oversight in our lives. So I think, you know, a lot, especially women, a lot of women are the breadwinners. A lot of women are kind of the heads of household in a way and kind of, you know, in charge of the finances and planning for, you know, whether it's a 401k or whatever kinds of, you know, retirement funds. A lot of people also aren't planning to retire. You know, I've thought a lot about this and I think I can't imagine not working. And I, you know, for better and worse. You know, I think a lot of us are sort of thinking that we'll be working for a long time. So there's just a lot of different paths that I think we're kind of forging this path, and mm-hmm. that it's different from, you know, with the way our parents led their lives. It's not so cookie cutter, but we're trying to like wrap our heads around it and plan for it as best we can.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or brablem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code PODCAST15. The weather's getting warmer as I record. It's a nice 73 degrees on the East Coast. So, finally, time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and, fingers crossed, hello to shorts and tees. And I need to update my wardrobe for the long haul. And, you know, I don't want to spend a fortune. So luckily, I found Quince. I'm honest. I've got a lineup of timeless pieces from Quince that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and tons more. Best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I have t-shirts from Quince, pajamas from Quince. My very chic and fashionable sister-in-law, Hannah, her whole closet is Quince. And people often stop us and ask, where did you get this? Don't tell me the price. And then when I do, they're shopping on quince.com. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/somoney for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/somoney to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/somoney.
What do you think will be the Gen X legacy? What will you see as sort of our, and I was a latchkey kid, you know, like I admit that bill proudly. What do you think our contribution, our greatest contribution has been in terms of supporting maybe the next generation or leaving, you know, because I think that we are the generation that is closest to mirroring our parents' path, or at least striving mm-hmm. for that, right? I think that you, but then like any generation, it's a broad range of humans, right? Whether you're born in 1980 or the 60s, like that's a huge difference. But I think that I was raised very much wanting to pursue that American dream that my parents worked really hard to achieve as immigrants, carrying their torch to become a homeowner, to become financially secure, to have my career figured out, all of those things kind of quickly, you know, or at least like on time. I'm using air quotes. Whereas I think for the millennials, it's very different and very difficult because of a host of challenges that they got thrown at them at very young, formidable years, things like recessions and wars and all, you know, pandemic and all that. So they're often described as the generation that is least likely to follow in their parents' footsteps, at least the timeline. But anyway, all this to say, what do you think will be our, you know, contribution? What will we be remembered for? You know, what's defining us?
I think that we are trailblazers. Actually, I do agree with you that we're probably close to our parents, but we're also breaking a lot of the mold that our parents, you know, we're not, and I think it was broken for us a little bit, you know, as somebody who was in journalism and a lot of my friends are, you know, I think about, you know, I worked at a newspaper and I thought, okay, I'm going to be doing this for the rest of my life. Da, 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 da. And that was like, oh my gosh, the internet. Oh my gosh. I mean,
right.
You know, and everything changed. And, you know, and even like my husband's an architect, you know, a lot of things were done by hand. Now they're all digitized. So like to survive, you had to really like adapt and evolve. And so I think our generation is particularly resilient and flexible, you know, and has had to be that way to continue to work. And it was really like, we have like one foot in the analog world and one foot in the digital world. And I, you know, definitely say that, from what I see in our community and just being a Gen Xer, we are actually we embrace digital. We definitely are right there and we're excited by it. I think in a way that it does always still feel like, wow, like I'm like looking at my iPhone, I'm like, this is like a computer in my hand. This is
It costs basically what a computer does. I couldn't believe it. My last iPhone, I was like, excuse me. Well, you're right. I mean, just to stick with the iPhone for a second, there are times, right? You'll be in your car and be like, oops, I forgot my phone. I feel like a Gen Xer would be like, well, I mean, we didn't always have phones. So like,
right.
If there's an emergency, I guess I have to, you know, I'll figure it out. I'll go knock on someone's door and use their phone. Whereas I feel like my brother, who was born in 1991, would like go back home and get his phone and you know, risk like delaying his trip and all of that because he really doesn't know. I think that we have a survival instinct. I think that is definitely a gift. I'm very grateful for having that analog first, digital second, lifespan.
Me too. Absolutely. That's well said. I think, you know, it's a gift and it's something that, you know, in terms of imparting, I think it's so important to impart and support other generations, younger generations, and also to learn from them. I think maybe we don't do enough of that. And there's so much to be gleaned from sort of intergenerational learning.
Yes.
I'm constantly trying to surround myself with younger people too. And, you know, I'm always asking my nieces and nephew, like, what's the newest thing? What should I know about? You know, it's like, so I just like for us to stay sharp, I think it's important to do that. And I think Gen X is willing to do that. And hopefully, you know, we can also share our learnings about how to pivot kind of quickly and be resilient when you don't have that iPhone in your car.
It's amazing too. I mean, sometimes it's just the world that you live in. I mean, today as a parent, I would never imagine letting my son who's 6 or 7, like walk anywhere by himself.
Right.
And we live in the suburbs now, not in the city. We're definitely not in the city, but even in the suburbs. I'm watching, you know, Mayor of Easttown right now. So it's bringing back all the like nightmares of growing up thinking I was going to get abducted. But that said, I was a latchkey kid, you know, in fifth grade. I was definitely more independent as a kid. My parents would let me stay out with the other kids unparented. And I think it was a different world when we grew up. Would you agree?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think the freedom that we experienced also just, you know, there was a lot in the 70s, you know, we saw our parents go through a recession and a downturn. And I think that kind of greatly affected us. I know that's a little different than what you're saying, but it also, I think, relates to this combination of feeling a freedom to roam around, but also seeing sort of this financial downturn, and that shaped us today to be, you know, place a higher priority on both organization and financial preparation. And I think that's definitely something that a lot of us are worried about and plan for both.
Yeah. Well, you bring up a great point, which is that, you know, I think our generation, Gen Xers, some of us, we didn't have the burdens of student loan debt as the mm-hmm. younger generation now does. Things weren't as expensive. Right. Salaries have been pretty stagnant for over a decade, all while yeah. inflation and the cost of everything has gone up, from homes to college educations to even credit card interest rates. And so I do think that in some ways we did have a little bit more of a tailwind helping us get to achieve some of those goals earlier on. But then, of course, we got the rude awakenings of becoming like the sandwich generation, right? What are the financial challenges now? I think that, you know, there's a trade-off. I feel like for all the benefits that we may have had in the beginning relative to the millennials, let's say, there are some challenges now. I would say that divorce is one of those challenges, like post-divorce. Definitely. Managing your life after that, especially for women.
Absolutely. Divorce is right up there. It can be financially crushing. And I think included in that is just the cost of care, the cost of children, the cost of parents, having that conversation with your parents to understand, you know, where do you stand financially and sort of figuring that out and how that's going to impact you specifically. I think, two households working and figuring out how to juggle that as well as, you know, the caregiving piece of it. So there's just, it's a lot. I do think the pro is a lot of us have so much experience. And so we're able to really sort of roll with some of this and be scrappy and figure out how to do it. But I would say, yeah, divorce, healthcare, we should throw that in there too.
Sure.
It's another thing. Like a lot of people are experiencing, I don't want to be so dour. I don't want to be like down, but it's, you know, things happen. It's just, it's a lot going on in their 40s and 50s. And
well, yeah, I was just reading mm-hmm. a statistic that retirees right now, which may be more of the older Gen Xers and more of the boomers, but the average cost of healthcare out of pocket for a couple in retirement is, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, 200 some yeah. thousand dollars. That's with health insurance. So yeah, that's a great point. Let's talk again about Tonight real yeah. quickly, because you've recently pivoted the business away from Facebook and you have now a private subscription-based community in addition to the website and the newsletter. Tell us about the experience that people can expect in the community. What have been some breakthroughs or, you know, revelations or networking? I mean, all of that I think is yeah. always something to look forward to when you're part of a community, but what has it been specific to the Tonighters experience?
You know, I think what's great, and, we moved from Facebook to the Mighty platform specifically because we could have kind of everything we wanted in one place. So while we still have the great community that we had on Facebook, we have an even sort of more engagement and richer conversations. And we have courses and events. We call them Two-Nighter Teas. We just had one with Stacey London on menopause. The courses are on things that are important to Gen X. Actually, we have one later this year. We have a course led by an end-of-life doula. And she's going to kind of go through like, what is it? I wrote this down. It's like the four D's. Whether it's you or your parents, it's like decide, discuss, document, and digitize. And I'm like super excited for that one, right? Mm-hmm. We have things on dating. We have courses on kind of getting back to online dating for people who are, you know, trying to do that and it's a struggle. We have the Art of Storytelling, which is actually a class going on right now, which is whether you're telling a story on a stage or just like, you know, at the office, you're just trying to, you know, tell a great story. It's an amazing course. And the nice thing about this is the courses are available to members after the fact. So we have a couple of price points, one that includes all the courses and every member gets access to the Art of Storytelling and one about career pivots. So, so it's great. So like, we're all sort of going through midlife together and I don't think there's anything like it where you can really, it's just super tailored to Gen X specifically, not just over 40, but Gen X, because we have a very particular cohort as we are hearing right now.
I love it. I love it. Everybody should check it out. All right. You are also, while we have you, I want to take advantage of your brain sure. and pick your brain and talk about entrepreneurship. As an entrepreneur yourself, you also, in addition to tonight.com, you run Gyrate Media, which is a boutique content strategy firm. Yep. You work with brands like Verizon, Citi, J&J, many others. What is your advice right now for women entrepreneurs? Let's talk about the beginnings, you know, funding your business. Do you see more of a trend towards funding? I see so much activity, whether it's I Fund Women or other fundraising specific to women, the Female Founders Collective, places like that, that are offering grants. So do you feel like this is an exciting time to be a female entrepreneur raising money for your business? And by the way, you don't have to raise money for your business. You could just save your money and start it that way. People think you need like all this money.
Which is what I did. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I don't want to glamorize like, you know, venture capital or anything like that.
Yeah. You know, I definitely am the latter. I am somebody who, you know, and I've thought about doing the fundraising, I think more particularly for Tonight. With Gyrate Media, you know, I've really both Gyrate Media and Tonight I've bootstrapped completely. And Gyrate Media is a content strategy consultancy. So I help businesses tell stories, manage and create websites, do that sort of overall strategy for them. And I haven't had to take any money for that. You know, it's really leveraging, I think, you know, I don't, what is it now? Three decades of experience. You know, I worked at Real Simple. I was an editorial director there. I worked at AOL for 7 years, and I worked at a newspaper called the Philadelphia City Paper for 10 years. So it's really sort of that sweet spot for me of having the digital experience and the kind of traditional journalism experience with, you know, both again, analog and digital, you know, which for me has been my kind of offering. I think it's that those years of expertise that have helped me start a consultancy and have been able, you know, I've been able to manage it that way. And so I don't know that you always have to take funding. I often think of my publisher from the early days of the City Paper, which was an alt weekly. And he used to just talk about, yeah, like if they don't want to buy what I'm selling, like, you know, it's not a business. And I often think about that, you know, just that I want to create something that is sustainable as much as I can. So it's kind of about slow, steady growth. Just take it day by day. I know that's not possible for everyone, but that's how I've chosen to do it.
Coming full circle a little bit, because we've talked now about how with Gen X, and we experience this ourselves, that there is this can-do-itness that we have that is innate because of these pivots that we've had to, out of necessity, have had to pivot because things weren't analog, now they're digital and everything's moving online. Have you ever thought about if let's say, not to scare everybody at home, but if there's like cyber warfare? At this point, I'll expect anything. Right. You know, it's just we got to go and think about these things. Sometimes it's healthy to think about these worst case scenarios. But would it even be a worst case scenario if like the digital world shut down for a year? What would you do?
My God, that's such a good question. Oh my God,
what would you do?
And like, why
besides, of course, like this? Do a happy dance because you don't have. There's no more pressure of like posting something on social media.
Well,
in terms of your business, right?
Yeah. I mean, I personally think going back to those analog skills, I'm like, I can always write, you know, I always feel like I have at my core, I'm an English major at my core. And so I can always like rely on those sort of core writing skills. You know, somebody will always want to hear a story, right? So whether it's telling that story in a crowd or using my writing skills to get by, I always feel like, oh my God, no, I'm terrified.
You know what I would do? I would marry a real estate license and only work on billboards. I would sell billboard ads because how else are you going to promote your, like, if I want to like,
well, that's
promote
true.
Myself, you know,
you can't
going
door
to door isn't really, you got to,
no. Or maybe I'll start a newspaper. Right.
Can we start a newspaper, traditional classified ads.
Yeah. Oh,
I would go back to that.
Ads.
I used to be an ad saleswoman in college. Well, listen, let's hope that that doesn't happen. But if it does, can I work for you? Will you hire me? Because I can also write.
Yes, I will hire you.
Great deal. Margaret, thank you so much for joining us. Really excited to check out everything you have to offer. Tonight.com. Everybody check it out. We'll put the website also on our site along with the subscription-based community, the newsletter. Have a great rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you so much to Margaret for joining us. Check out tunight.com. That's tuenight.com. There is a weekly newsletter, which you should definitely subscribe to. See you back here on Wednesday. My guest will be Stacey Vanek Smith. She's the co-host of NPR's The Indicator from Planet Money. And she has a new book out, which is really, really sharp. It's called Machiavelli for Women. Defend your worth, grow your ambition, and win the workplace. Not a bad way to get ahead of the fall season, right? Thanks for listening again. I hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.